Perhaps I'll just close the door. What I'd like to accomplish today, set our goals, and I always shoot very high, is to finish a simon that we began yesterday in the Sefer Gvuras Yitzchak. And we started yesterday on page Reish Samach Gimel, and it's called Mevatlim Talmud Torah LeMikra Megillah. And you may recall that we studied the Ritva in that sugya, but we never got a chance to finish it. So we got up to page Reish Samach Hei, which is a paragraph that starts with Ulefi Zeh. So I'm hoping that you have that in front of you.
Ulefi Zeh Nira.
Lefi Zeh Nira, right? The first Lefi Zeh. That's number one on the agenda. Number two on the agenda is Simon Chavtes, which is called Mishloach Manos, and that you'll get soon from the photocopy machine. That's on pages Reish Tzadi Aleph to Reish Tzadi Beis. And then the third thing I want to do is the Pachad Yitzchak Inyan Beis, and hopefully you'll be getting that very shortly as well. We did Inyan Aleph, and now we want to go on to Inyan Beis. And that's more of the philosophical part of our discussion. So the general style that I've been using in the last couple of days, and I don't know if it's okay with you, is to split our time between the halachic discussions and more of the agadic or philosophical discussions. Is that okay? And that's what we're going to try to do. So let me just say a few words to review what we accomplished here yesterday in Simon Chaf, so we'll be able to pick it up from there. We spoke about the Ritva in Megillah Daf Gimel, and the Ritva seems to assume that certainly, and this was never an issue, that Talmud Torah is going to be nidches. Thank you so much. If you can put them all on that table, so people will be able to, you know, okay.
You don't need any of these?
I myself, I need the original. You know, if you have that.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
This is the original of the Chafetz Chaim. And so
according to the Ritva, there's no doubt about it that Talmud Torah is going to be pushed off for the sake of the mitzvah of any mitzvah, and certainly Megillah as well. But the issue is what's called Bitzibur. In other words, what if we add to Mikra Megillah the element of Tzibur? Does a person who's involved in Talmud Torah give up his Torah study for the sake of showing up at Megillah reading Bitzibur? Now, obviously, the aspect of tzibur in Mikra Megillah is something that's very, shall I say, meaningful, and it certainly embellishes the kiyum. But is that embellishment of the kiyum, that upgrade, if we can call it that, is that enough to be docha Talmud Torah?
Just for the sake of the upgrade.
Just for the sake of the upgrade, meaning he could definitely read the Megillah after he finishes his Talmud Torah study. But the question is, he's going to forfeit the element of tzibur, because the tzibur is reading the Megillah right now, at this particular moment. And that makes it urgent. And that's what the Gemara wants to derive from a Kal Vachomer, from Avoda. And Tosis clarifies that in the case of Avoda, certainly the Kohanim can get together at the end of their service in the Beis HaMikdash and read the Megillah. That's not an issue. But the tzibur as a whole is reading the Megillah now. And that makes it pressing and urgent to achieve that extra element of tzibur for the Kohanim to stop their avoda, postpone it to a later time, all for the sake of Megillah b'tzibur. And the Gemara has established that Kohanim mevatlim me'avodasim is derived from a special drasha, a pasuk that says mishpacho, mishpacha. referring to Mishpachas Kehuna, Mishpachas Leviya. They will terminate their avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah B'tzibur, Tosus says, because right now the Tzibur is reading the Megillah. The fact that they could continue with their avoda and then read the Megillah B'yachidus, that's not enough, because we have a special pasuk of Mishpacha, Mishpacha, to teach me that even for the sake of this embellishment, this upgrade of Megillah to the level of Tzibur, they should be Mevatel the avoda. Comes along Beis Rebbe, and they say, well, I have a kal v'chomer. If for the sake of avoda, we are going to terminate our avoda for the sake of Megillah B'tzibur, then how much more so we will be terminating our Talmud Torah for the sake of Megillah B'tzibur. And that's the kal v'chomer based on the fact that Talmud Torah is less chomer than avoda. Avoda is more chomer than Talmud Torah. The Gemara then makes a distinction between Talmud Torah de Rabim and Talmud Torah de Yachid. So in the case of Talmud Torah D'Yochid, that's lower on our echelon. It's got a lower point on the echelon than Avoda. So if we're Mavatel the Avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah B'Tzibur, Kol Shekein, we're going to be Mavatel Talmud Torah D'Yochid for Mikra Megillah B'Tzibur. And that's the way the Ritva understands this sugya. The problem is that the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amid Beis comes up with an opposition or a stira to this principle of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, and Rebbe. Of course, the Gemara says that in the case of Avelus and Hesped, then we're going to override all the dinim of Purim, presumably not just Simchas Purim, but also Megillas Purim, for the sake of the Hesped of a Talmud Chacham, which means that Talmud Torah is greater than Mikra Megillah. And the Gemara finally answers, no, that case is different, because that's not Talmud Torah, but rather Kavanah Torah. Now the problem is that Tosas gives you the impression that for the sake of burying this Talmud Chacham and all that's involved in Kavod HaMes, whether it be the burial itself, whether it be the Hesped, we're going to forego on Mikra Megillah as a mitzvah, meaning forget about Tzibur. Stimas Dvarim, the way that Tosfos formulates it, it would seem that when it's a choice between the Hesped of a Talmud Chacham and Mikra Megillah, forget about Tzibur, again, just Mikra Megillah as an entity, then we're going to forfeit Mikra Megillah for the sake of the Hesped for a Talmud Chacham. And at this point, the Gemara seems to understand that a Hesped for Talmud Chacham fits into the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gemara hasn't made that distinction between Talmud Torah and Kavanah Torah. So granted that analogy in the Havamina of the Gemara, it comes out that Talmud Torah completely undermines the mitzvah Megillah. And this is something that we cannot understand, because we have a universal rule that any mitzvah in the Torah, again, when I say in the Torah, I mean even in the Rabbanon, is docha the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Kol ha-mitzvahs mevatlos Talmud Torah. So if you want to talk about the Gemara's suffix, well, it's Talmud Torah versus the enhancement of the mitzvah of Megillah with a tzibur to jack it up a few decibels, that I can understand. But there could be no doubt about the question of Megillah itself. We're not going to forfeit and sacrifice Megillah for the sake of Talmud Torah, because that's the rule of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is mevatlin Talmud Torah lemitzvah, whatever mitzvah that is. So you're going to forfeit the mitzvah Megillah for the sake of Talmud Torah? That doesn't make any sense. And at this point, the Gemara understands that the Hesped is so intense, maybe there was a whole string of Hespedim, I don't know, that they won't even have a chance to read the Megillah at all. They're going to forfeit the mitzvah in Gansen. And the Gemara thinks that this mitzvah of Hesped Talmud Chacham comes under which mitzvah? Talmud Torah. So how could it be that we're going to give up, we're going to forego the mitzvah of Megillah for the sake of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? That doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was Kavanah Torah.
So the Gemara answers it's Kavanah Torah. Let's open up the Gemara. Just I'll show you inside, so you don't think that I'm inventing. Some people suspect me of when we talk about Purim, I am suspect of making me on my own Gemara's here, but yeah, Purim Torah. Remind me to tell you a story about Rabbi Yochanan Zweig. Have you ever heard of Rabbi Yochanan Zweig?
Sure.
So I have a great story about him. It has nothing to do with Purim per se, but anyway, if you open up to Daf Gimel, and we saw this yesterday, but let's just point it out today. The Gemara has a question here that starts on Daf Gimel Amid Beis. The Yachid Kal. Let's see if you could find that in the Gemara. The Yachid Kal with a question mark. You see where Tosus says?
Yeah, right up top.
Yeah, it's about 10 lines down from the bottom. I'm sorry, 10 lines down from the top. The first two words in the line are Talmud Torah. And then it says, the Yachid Kal. You're telling me that in the hierarchy, the echelon, we put Avoda here on top, and underneath there we put Talmud Torah, if it's Talmud Torah, the Yachid. That means that if we're going to trump Avoda for the sake of Megillah, then certainly we're going to trump Talmud Torah for the sake of Megillah, because we're talking about Talmud Torah, the Yachid. And I'm going to prove to you that on the contrary, that Talmud Torah, the Yachid, is greater than Megillah. How do I know it's greater than Megillah? And the answer is based on a Mishnah. Just one second. Where is the Mishnah here? Did I skip something? Just give me a second here. Yeah, I skipped something. I'm sorry. Udiyachid Kal. That's on the fourth line down from the top. Sorry. Udiyachid Kal. It appears twice on the Gemara, so my eye caught the later one. Let's go back to the earlier one. Is it really true that Megillah trumps Talmud Torah? I'm going to prove to you, no, that Talmud Torah trumps Megillah. Even if it means we give up on the mitzvah Megillah, but we have to do so for the sake of Talmud Torah. Vatnan. And now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah that presents the halacha of hesped for a Talmud Chacham. And that hesped for Talmud Chacham is so important that it trumps Purim. And then finally, the Gemara answers, which is again about 10 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is kavod. Do you see that?
Yep.
And the Gemara says, kavod at Torah ka'amrit. Okay. You're bringing me a riot from kavod at Torah, from hesped for a Talmud Chacham. That's not relevant to our discussion. Why? Because kavod at Torah de yachid, chomer mi Talmud Torah de yachid. In other words, the mitzvah of kavod at Torah emerges as a separate mitzvah, independent of Talmud Torah, so it's the study of Torah and the respect that we have to give for Torah. In this case, the hesped for a Talmud Chacham that died. So as far as Talmud Torah, the Yachid is concerned, we can derive from a Kal Vachomer that certainly Megillah would trump Talmud Torah, the Yachid. But if you ask me as far as Kavanah Torah is concerned, that's a whole different mitzvah, and that trumps Megillah. And Tosu seems to indicate it trumps Megillah, even if it means that we won't be able to read the Megillah. So that's again, in the Havamina, we subsume hesped for a Talmud Chacham under what mitzvah? Talmud Torah. We don't know the chiddush of Kvod HaTorah as opposed to Talmud Torah. So Gemara at the end, again, you have to make sure that when we're learning the Havamina of the Gemara, we understand the Havamina of the Gemara. Don't confuse the Havamina with the Maskana. The Maskana of the Gemara is, don't you dare equate Kvod HaTorah in the case of hesped with Talmud Torah. And if Megillah trumps Talmud Torah, that has nothing to do with Covenant Torah. Covenant Torah is on a whole different level. It's an independent mitzvah. And it's such a great mitzvah that it's even greater than Avodah. So again, in the Maskana, but again, I want you to dog for Tishka. Forget about what I'm telling you now so that I can explain the Havamina. But the Maskana is going to be that the hierarchy puts Covenant Torah on the very top of the totem pole. It's a higher echelon. Then it has Avodah, and then on the bottom it has Talmud Torah de Yachid. And the Nafkamina is going to be whether we can trump Megillah or not. So the answer is only on the tippy top, on the top of the pole, which is called Kavod Talmud Chacham, then we have a mitzvah that's so great that it will trump Megillah, and we'll have to skip Megillah this year. When we get to Avodah, and how much more so Talmud Torah de Yachid, then Megillah trumps Avoda, and how much more so does Trump Yachid? That's the Maskon. Okay, now I want you to forget that, and we want to go back to the Havamina. The Havamina understood that Hesped for Talmud Chacham comes under what mitzvah? Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah the Yachid, and yet it trumps Megillah. And that's where the Gemara objects to the whole thesis that we saw with Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina and with Talmidim of Rebbe, that they all assume that Megillah trumps Avodah, and how much more so does it trump Talmud Torah the Yochid. And now we're seeing all of a sudden that something which is equal to Talmud Torah the Yochid trumps Megillah, and we're going to forfeit Megillah for the sake of the Hesped of a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara answers, name. That Hesped is not Talmud Torah. The Hesped for a Talmud Chacham that died is Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah is on the top of the echelon. But in the Hava Mina, we equated Kavod HaTorah with what? Talmud Torah the Yochid. And if it's equated with Yochid, then according to everything we've seen until now, if the Hesped comes to undermine the possibility of Mikra Megillah, we have to give up on the Hesped for the sake of Mikra Megillah. And yet the Mishnah says just the opposite. That's the question that we want to study.
Is there
Talmud
Torah to
Rabbim?
Is there Talmud Torah to Rabbim?
Yeah, well, I don't know about Talmud Torah to Rabbim. The Gemara's language is... Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, the language of the Gemara is the Rabbim. I was just confused because Rashi on the top of the Amud says, Kol Yisrael. So I got a little confused because usually Talmud Torah de Rabbin means some sort of a public shiur. Rashi's saying that in this context, Talmud Torah de Rabbin means Kol Yisrael. That's what happened at the time of Yoshua. We had the entire community of Israel together.
Kol Yisrael.
Now the last thing that we discussed yesterday, which I want to start with today, is the paragraph Venira, in which he quotes the Kuntres on Hanukkah and Megillah. And here, I got stuck yesterday. The question is, am I going to be consistent and get stuck again today? I looked it over, and I think maybe I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because honestly, in this paragraph, in Nira, and going on to Lefi Zeh at the beginning of Reish Samach Hei, I think the author was a little bit ambiguous, a little bit shy of clarity, absolute clarity. But I think we could still hopefully make sense out of it. Just say a shir malas on my behalf and we'll see if Hashem will answer my prayers. Okay. He says the following, that there are two dinim. There's one din of mevatlim Talmud Torah and there's another din of adif mi Talmud Torah. So we could say the following. We could say that if we have Megillah on one side and we have Talmud Torah on the other side and we want to know, you know, in this balance, in this tug of war on the scales, which trumps which, we're going to say Megillah is Mevatel Talmud Torah. Mevatlim Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah. Then we have a different discussion. And that discussion is what's called Adifus. You'll see it on the top of this page, the first word on the page, Reish Samach Hei, if you have that page. You see the word Adif? So you want to underline that. And that word Adif actually comes from the Gemara itself. Let's take a look at the Gemara one more time. Omar Rava. And this is the Gemara that I told you to look at when I mistakenly started this year. Amar Rava Pshitali, so it's about 10 lines down on the from the top of Gimel Amud Beis. Avoda Mikra Megillah Adif. Okay? So we're going to make a big deal about the word Adif. It doesn't say Mevatlim is Avoda for Mikra Megillah, but rather it says Mikra Megillah Adif. Okay. He says that when we look at Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who says Mevatlin Talmud Torah Mikra Megillah B'tzibur, and Kalvachomer, and this is derived from a Kalvachomer from Avoda, that halacha is halacha of Mevatlim Talmud Torah. And what that means is that just like we Mevatl Talmud Torah for any mitzvah, according to the sugya, we're going to be Mevatl Talmud Torah even for the extra embellishment of tzibur. That's number one. However, Rava is saying something else. Rava is saying that Megillah is Adif. Hare did not go to Mikra Megillah Adith. He doesn't say Mevatlin es Avoda le Mikra Megillah, but rather he says that Mikra Megillah Adith. Do you hear the two Lashon? So again, if we go back to Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina on Daf Gimel and Beis, there he says Mevatlin es Avoda b'shvil le Mikra Megillah. That's the Lashon of Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Lashon of Rav on Daf Gimel Amud Beis is not Mevatlin es Avoda le Mikra Megillah, but Mikra Megillah Adif. So what is the difference between the two? He says the following. Mitzad Adin she'talmud Torah nidches b'shvil kol ha'mitzvos eino nidche. He says we would not undermine Talmud Torah for the sake of Kriyas HaMegillah b'tzibur. Why? Because you're not forfeiting the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. You could fulfill it b'yachid. So postpone the Mikra Megillah until he finishes his Talmud Torah, or in the Kohen's case, until he finishes his Avodah, and they'll read the Megillah b'yachid. Now you want to know, would the halacha of Mevatlin Talmud Torah LeMitzvah apply for the sake of a tzibur, which means that right now at 8 o'clock in the morning the tzibur is gathering together to read the Megillah, does he have to terminate his Talmud Torah for the sake of tzibur? He can easily say, well, I'll read the Megillah at 12 noon after I finish my whole learning session. I'll have to read it, albeit with as a yachid. So the answer is, here we need a new halacha. And this new halacha does not fit into the universal pattern of Talmud Torah nidches mifnei kol ha-mitzvahs, because we don't have to be mevatel Talmud Torah for the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. We just read the Megillah b'yachid a little later. Here we have a new halacha that Mikra Megillah is adif, and therefore we're going to be mevatel Talmud Torah and avoda even if it's only for the sake of kriya b'tzibur l'chut. The only addition, the only nafkah meaning you can get by terminating your Talmud Torah, terminating your Avoda, is Tzibur. And for that, we need a new halacha of Adif. And if I understand correctly, what he means by Adif is that we really have to take two mitzvahs and ask ourselves which one is inherently more severe or more weighty in the eyes of the Almighty. You know, this is a very, very difficult assessment to make. You know, when you the Mishnah says in Ovis, excellent. We don't know. So the Chiddush of this Gemara, according to what we're saying here in the name of this Kuntres, is that we can actually weigh these two mitzvahs in terms of their inherent value, so to speak, in terms of the hierarchy of mitzvahs, and we can come to the conclusion that Mikra Megillah B'tzibur is such an important mitzvah that it outweighs the Talmud Torah and the Avodah. And that's called Adif. Again, until now, when we talked about, you know, whether he has to terminate his learning or not terminate his Talmud Torah, that's in terms of the universal principle of Mevatlim Talmud Torah L'chol HaMitzvahs. But that only applies when you're dealing with the mitzvah of Megillah per se. And it's an either-or situation. Let's say he doesn't have a Megillah, he doesn't have a person to read the Megillah, and so forth and so on. So then we're going to say that we have to be Mevatl Talmud Torah for any mitzvah, and here Megillah is like any mitzvah. Now we're adding another piece to the puzzle here. We're no longer looking at Talmud Torah from the perspective of Talmud Torah, because under the laws of Talmud Torah, we would not be mevatel Talmud Torah just because we want to embellish a mitzvah. We'll get the mitzvah anyway. So we won't get it b'tzibur, we'll get it b'yachid. Ah, here we have to introduce a whole new element into the equation, a whole new mechanics. And that's to put two mitzvahs on the scale and decide where it moves. You know, where do you, in which direction do you tip the scale, which is heavier, which is not. Here Rava says that the mitzvah of Megillah, which he means Megillah B'tzibur, is such an inherent significant mitzvah that it has an adifus. We're going to put it above the mitzvah of avoda above the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So far, so good? Any questions until now? Because I want to get to the paragraph of Lefiza.
When we say, for instance, tadir b'sheino, tadir, tadir adiv, we're not talking about mbato one or the other. We're talking about
kedima.
Order. Right. Here, we're talking about Talmud Torah. If you don't do it, it's done. You missed it. It's
right.
Not,
and Megillah also.
You can redo.
And also Megillah, in this case of Tzibur, you don't have another option. Correct? So now, in terms of weighing these two mitzvahs, it's an either-or situation. We can't have both. If you were talking about Megillah B'Yachid, fine. You know, that I can do later on. But if you talk about this unique embellishment of the mitzvah, enhancement of the mitzvah to the level of Tzibur, that's something that's now or never. You know, there's no other Tzibur that he can link up with. So you really have to get into an inherent weighing or evaluating two mitzvahs and decide which mitzvah is going to win out. And that's called adif. And the reason why Rava deliberately uses the word adif and he avoids the language of Rav Chanina bar Rav Yossi of mevatlim, he's not going to say mevatlim Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah. Why? Because we're only talking about Tzibur. And if we're only talking about Tzibur, then the law of mevatlim Talmud Torah would not go into effect. Because he can still achieve the mitzvah of Megillah fine and be mekayim that mitzvah b'yachid. But the answer is, we have a new issue here, in which we're no longer applying the universal standard, and that's the issue of adifus. And Rava wants to suggest that the adifus of Mikra Megillah b'tzibur is such that it trumps Talmud Torah under this law of adifus. Now, in the next paragraph, I would like to make one little change, and I'm hoping that this is what the Mechaber had in mind. At the end of the second line, do you see the word rak? Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna bracket that for a moment, and instead I'm gonna put in the word ella. And you'll evaluate when you think it makes life easier. For me, it makes life easier if it has the word ella here, because the word rak here got me a little bit confused. I thought it was ambiguous. So let's read it the following. Lefi zeh nireh, dezeh poshut, sha'adin she'talmud Torah nidcheis b'shvil kol ha'mitzvahs, eino halacha ela b'mitzvahs Talmud Torah levat, v'eino shayach l'kovet ha'Torah. He's saying the following, that we have this universal principle that Talmud Torah has to step aside for any mitzvah. He says that, yeah? And he says that only applies to Talmud Torah per se, but it doesn't apply to Kavod HaTorah. In terms of Kavod HaTorah, we don't have the rule that we're mevatlim Kavod HaTorah for the sake of any mitzvah. There's no reason to suggest such a rule because we're talking about the mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah, not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So let's say philosophically for a moment, Talmud Torah is for the purpose of Gadol Talmud and maybe Lidei Maisa. So you're going to drop a Maisa for the sake of Talmud? That would be paradoxical. That would be almost antithetical to the essence of Talmud Torah. But Kavod HaTorah is a separate mitzvah unto itself. U'mishum hachi, therefore, lo hoya kasha la Gemara. The Gemara never raised the question, Eich mevatlin mikra megillah b'shvil Kavod HaTorah. How can we understand the Mishnah that says for the hesped of a Talmud Chacham, which is Kavod HaTorah, we're going to give up and forfeit the mitzvah Megillah? That was never a question. Even in the Havamim. You see where he's rewriting the text here. It wasn't the way we understood the Havamim. Ulam, Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina, Chidesh Din Adifus. Again, we only know this through Rava's perspective, but Rava's interpreting it as a Din of Adifus. The Mikra Megillah Adif Mi Talmud Torah. Oh, now we can explain the Havamim. If Mikra Megillah has an adifus, is Hayasover Agamara Basal Kedak Nahavamina, the Lekan Afkamina Bein Talmud Chacham, I'm sorry, Bein Talmud Torah, Lekovet HaTorah. If Mikra Megillah Adif Mi Talmud Torah, Hu Adin the Adif Mi Kovet HaTorah Gamken. Meaning, if for the sake of Hesped, for the deceased scholar, we're going to have to forfeit the mitzvah of Talmud of Megillah, which means here in this case a Megillah b'tzibur. He says the Gemara holds that it doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, that it makes sense because in light of the concept of adifus, meaning if we have a halacha here, a mechanism of adifus, in which we put Megillah on the scale and we say it's inherently a greater mitzvah, more significant mitzvah than Talmud Torah, then we should also come to the same identical conclusion if what's on the scale is not Talmud Torah and Mikra Megillah, but Kavod HaTorah and Mikra Megillah, because of the adifus of Mikra Megillah. Now again, it's not 100% clear to me what he means, because am I going to say that Mikra Megillah is other from any mitzvah in the Torah? Let's say, you know, let's say, for example, I have to circumcise my son, and I have to forfeit the mitzvah of Milah Bismana for the sake of Mikra Megillah, if let's say his eighth day was on Purim, right? So you're going to tell me, well, Adifa. I don't know how far we can go with Adifa in Megillah. But he's willing to go as far as Kavod HaTorah. And he's willing to say that in the scale in which we're comparing the relative weights of Mikra Megillah and Kavod HaTorah, Mikra Megillah and the Hava Mina is basically on the same. In other words, we should treat Kavod HaTorah in the same way we were to treat Talmud Torah, that they're both on the same level. And if we have a halacha of Mikra Megillah Adif, we should apply that to Kavod HaTorah as well. That was the Gemara's question. So again, we're not operating within the framework of Mevatlin Talmud Torah, because within the framework of Mevatlin Talmud Torah, then the Gemara would have no argument and no valid analogy to the case of Hesped. That's a different mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah. And we have no reason to say that just like Talmud Torah has to step aside for any mitzvah, so too Kavod HaTorah has to step aside and be trumped by any mitzvah. Why would the Gemara say such a thing? That's a ridiculous Havamina. But rather, the Havamina was in the light of this new halacha called Adifus, which means that Mikra Megillah on a level of its own evaluation as a mitzvah is on a very, very top level, such that it trumps Talmud Torah, trumps Avodah. That's all under the law of Adifus. Then let's apply that din of adifus even to Kavod HaTorah. And therefore, there's no way of justifying in the Gemara's Hava Mina that for the sake of Kavod HaTorah and burying the dead and Hesped for the Talmud Chacham, we're going to forfeit the mitzvah of Megillah. It doesn't make any sense. Umeshani, what is the Gemara's answer? The Kavod HaTorah the Yachid Chamur mi Talmud Torah. I'm sorry. The Kavod HaTorah the Yachid Chamur mi Talmud Torah the Yachid. So if you're comparing Talmud Torah the Yachid in terms of its inherent value, then Mikra Megillah is going to trump. But if you're talking about Kavod HaTorah is greater than Talmud Torah the Yachid. And if Kavod HaTorah is greater than Talmud Torah the Yachid, then your analogy, your assumption and premise in the Havamin is unfair. It's not tenable. Why? Because I'm going to assume that although Mikra Megillah is Adif, that's only vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, but not vis-a-vis Kavod HaTorah. The af dini de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina the Mikra Megillah Adif mi Talmud Torah ain't a rak b'mitzvahs Talmud Torah v'lo b'mitzvahs Kavod HaTorah. So we're putting Kavod HaTorah now on a higher level than Talmud Torah, and therefore the din of adifus with regard to Megillah that applies vis-a-vis Talmud Torah is not going to apply vis-a-vis Kavod HaTorah. Took me a long time to figure that out. I mean, yesterday I was totally in the dark. Okay, now at this point, for the balance of this essay, he wants to know the following. When we talk about Adif and the inherent significance, are we talking about A or B? A is Tzibur, which means we have 10 Jews together, or B, we're talking about Barov Am Hajus Melech. Say it again? Oh, so there's a difference. What's going to be the difference? So let me ask you a question. Your wife is preparing holochs for the Sudas Purim, or she's making homintash, or she's preparing the Shalach Manos. You're gathering together another 9 people, a minion, for Mikra Megillah. Should she be required to stop everything she's doing and join this, you know, and hear the Megillah from this tzibur? That's question number one. Question number two. The shul, the synagogue, has invited the entire community for a public reading of the Megillah. But your wife is busy making halachos. Does she have to stop what she's doing to come to the communal reading of Mikra Megillah? Now, you and I would have said, what's the difference between the case number one and case number two? If I'm gathering together 10 Jews and, you're going to make a decision whether she has to stop what she's doing to come and join or not. That decision should be relevant to the same question of the shul. But the answer is no. Not because of the shul, again. Yesterday we spoke about a kibbutz, right? Not because of the shul, but because of this halacha called Berov Am HaJismelech. Berov Am HaJismelech means the entire community is gathering together in order to read the Megillah. Is that a separate category that goes beyond tzibur? And the nafka mina is going to be how we define adif. If we're saying that adif is simply because we have a tzibur, then let her drop what she's doing and join the tzibur. But if you're going to say that adif is a result of the Rov HaMajismelech, then I'm going to make the following distinction. If you're getting together nine of your buddies for Mikra Megillah, let her continue. And then you'll have to read it for her later on. If, on the other hand, the entire community is getting together, that's Berov Am, she has to drop what she's doing. And that's what the Mechaber finds here in this paragraph, in the name of the Arzarua. He says the following. Let me just quickly skim this. He says, just one second. He says the following. Hine, take a look if you can, fast forward to the left column, line 2. You see the word vihine? Vihine. After adin kriya basora, vadin barov amajus melech, travayu havi mishum pirsume nisa, so I can achieve pirsum nisa when I get together nine of my buddies and we read it in the minyan. Mikomakom chalukim he me hadadi. There is a fundamental distinction between the two. Why? So he says that Behadin Kriya Basar, I'm going to prove to you that the regulations that apply to creating a tzibur of 10 are not identical with the regulations that apply to Berov Am. He quotes the Ran. The Ran says that as far as Kriya Basar is concerned, we require Bnei Chiyuva. So let's say Rabosi had nine men, and he had one young fellow who's 9 years old, right? He's a nine-year-old child. Not going to do it. Oh, ve'ilu le'inyan adin barov hamajus melech, says the Arzarua, af k'tanim v'noshim itztarfi, delo be'inan b'nei chiyuva. Again, when he says noshim itztarfi, and they're not B'nai Chiyuva, he probably means the Bahag Shita, that they're only Chayev in Shmia, not in Kriya, so they don't have the same identical Chiyuv. In other words, we have to get together the Ketanim and the Noshim into the synagogue for the sake of Berov HaMajus Melech. Ubevir Halacha, here's another Nafkamina, the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Tafrei Tzadi, he quotes the Levush. So imagine I have a porch, and the porch overlooks the shul where 10 people are reading the Megillah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I can be Yotze Kriyas Megillah B'tzibur simply because I see through the window. I'm out of my porch. The reason I went to my porch is because in Har Nof, my porch actually overlooks the Sephardic shul that's next door to us. You know, I could hear shofar blowing without leaving my porch. Oh, Aval Bedin Berov Amajus Melech, says the Mishnah Berurah, Afim Hayu Chalonos Pesukim LeBeis HaKnesses, in that same scenario that we described before, he says, Tzorech Lelech L'Sham. It's not enough that you look through the windows. You know, what does it say in Shir Hashirim, Ben HaCharachim? What does it say there? Meitzitz Ben HaCharachim. He says, you see, from these two proofs, that Halukim Hanach Trei Dini Persume Nisa Me'adadi, even though both come under the general rubric of Persume Nisa, they're fundamentally different. One is Tzibur and the other is Berov Am. So let's go over the two Nafkaminas. Number one, it's not enough that you read it Bitzibur if you're a Katan or an Isha, you have to join the community. So, and number two, it's not enough that you hear or see through the windows. You know, you got to join the community. So we're much more lenient as far as tzibur is concerned. The women can stay home, and those who are able to see the, or hear the Megillah reading through their windows, they can stay home. Oh, v'tzarech iyun. Now he gets to his safek. I don't know what to do in the following scenario. What's the answer to the following question? Im levatel Talmud Torah likrosa basora gamkein beinon lemilfano meavoda odlinian kriya basora lo beinon lemelef kavachom meavoda el Talmud Torah nidches lekriya basora kibosh nidches leikar mitzvahs kriya. He wants to know the following. We have the kavachomer from avoda. Under what circumstances, in what scenario do I need this Kal Vachomer? One way is to say it, that I need the Kal Vachomer even if the push and the urgency to terminate my Talmud Torah is for the sake of a minyan, and for the sake of a minyan, right, which embellishes the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah to the level of tzibur, do I cease or terminate my Talmud Torah in order to achieve that extra embellishment of Kriya Basara? So one answer is, I have to derive that from a Kal Vachomer from Avoda, that the Kohen, although he can finish his Avoda and read the Megillah B'Yochid, but if he has the opportunity that's urgent to hear the Megillah read B'tzibur, he should drop his avoda and kol shkein Talmud Torah. Or shall we say the following? That we have a principle called Talmud Torah Nidches. And if Talmud Torah is Nidches, then we should apply that even without the Kal Vachomer, namely, just one second. Oh, dibadula inyan kriyas asara lo beina lemelef mikal vachomer de avoda el talmud torah nidches lekriya basar kmo shenidches leikar mitzvahs kriya. Now, if kamina lefimash in isbar bedas aritva the af the ein mevatlin torah legamrei likros megillah barov am el shiyochol lachso letoroso im lekriya basar gamkein ein mevatlin torah legamrei. Okay, Rabosa, again, we have to go over this 50 million times, but what I would like to suggest is the following. We have this halach of adifus, and adifus means that we're not going to forfeit the mitzvah Megillah for the sake of the mitzvah Avodah, for the sake of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The question is, what generates the adifus? Is it the asara, or is it Barov HaMadras Melech? Now, I'd like to learn with you a little bit now about Mishloach Monos. Okay, then, if anyone needs a photocopy, I have one right here, I think. Yeah, if we're short of any photocopy, I have one extra one here. The Gemara says, in the name of Abaye, in Megillah Daf Zayin Omid Beis, that is an easy way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Shloach Monos. And Abai got together for a Sudas Purim with Rabbi Chanina, and Michlefei Suda Sayul Adodi. They simply swapped the Suda. Now, before we see Rashi, the simple pshat is that, let's say I have two Monos, and you have two Monos. We're eating at the same Suda. Let's just swap them. Because then I gave you two monos and you gave me two monos. But Rashi has a different pshat. Rashi says, Ze ochel im ze bepurim shel shana zu, u b'shniya soid chavera imo. I'll invite you this Purim, you're going to invite me next Purim. U b'beis Yosef tomal Rashi. I don't understand. Im kein, lo yom ekaim im mitzvus mishloach monos ish l'reyeu. In other words, on this year, you know, you were Mekayim the mitzvah of Shloach Monos, but I wasn't. And next year, I was Mekayim the Shloach Monos, and you weren't. So how did the Amoraim set up this Michlefei Sudusai from one year to the next? Then on one year, Reuven fed Shimon, and the other year, Shimon fed Reuven. That doesn't make any sense. V'im tomar sh'ayu sholchim monos ish l're'eyu im kein ma'ayu asalim ashvita. And if on the other end, this is what bothered Rashi apparently, that if they were actually sending monos each one, Reuven to Shimon and vice versa, then there's no chiddush here. The Gemara quotes this as a major breakthrough. Hatruma sadesh and kosev the tamishlof monos kadesh yicholecha dai v'safeg l'kayim hasuda. You should have enough for the food for the suda. So the mitzvah of shlof monos is for the suda. And the Trumas Hadeshin proves this from this Gemara that we just learned of Abaye and Rabbi Chanino, that they swapped the Suda. Menafki behochi mitzvahs mishloach monos. Alma the time of Mishum Se'udahu. The Alpize kosav de b'nei odom asholchim l'chavrem b'purim. Chalukim. Chalukim means garments. Sdinim or sheets. Ukahai gavnan, things of that sort. Enom yotzim yidei mishloach monos came in the time of Mishum Se'udahu. So the agenda or the accomplishment of Mishloach Monos is for Suda, so you have to send them food stuff. V'chein digdik haramam, the Rambam says, Chayv l'shloach shtei monos shel basar, shnei mini tavshil, shtei mini ochlim. The Rambam doesn't mention a word about other gifts, like, you know, send me a beautiful fabrics and something like that. In Matanis of Yonim, the Rambam adds mos, that you can give him money. It seems that Mishloach Monos, according to the Rambam, requires that you send food in order to enhance his Sa'uda. Okay, Rabbi, so we're still not finished with Rashi yet, but we're one step closer to understanding Rashi. We've now defined, in the light of the Trumas Hadeshin, the ultimate goal of the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos is to afford you with food for the Suda. And it's got to be food, says the Trumas Hadeshin. He's bedaked that from Rashi, from the Rambam. Now the Magen Avraham in Siman Tofresh Tzadihei says, Nira, the Misha Ochel al Shulchan Chaverav lo Hechin lo Klum, Potur Milashloach Monos. Now again, I'm going to take a little bit of literary license here, and it's up to you, you're the jury. But when it says lo, right, you see Hechin lo on the third line? What I think the word lo means is Liatzmo. So again, I'm not changing the text, but I think the meaning of lo here is liatzmo. So what happens here? A person is invited to someone else's Sudas Purim. His wife is thrilled because she doesn't have to go through the hassle of preparing a Suda. So Reuven invites Shimon, and Shimon has not prepared a Suda. Says the Magen Avraham, Potter. Shimon, who hasn't prepared a suda, is potter. In other words, the Magen Avraham is adding another ring to this ladder. Not only is the Trumas Hadeshin right that the purpose of Mishloach Monos is to give you food for the suda, but beyond that, he, Shimon, is not making a suda. You, Reuven, are making a suda, so you have to provide for Shimon because you invited him and he doesn't have a suda, but Shimon himself is not making a suda, he's not chayav. In other words, the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos is to give up of your Sa'uda for the benefit of somebody else's Sa'uda. That makes sense as far as the host is concerned, but such an obligation is not incumbent upon the guest. V'chein mashma, says the Magen Avraham, I have a proof for this, from Rashi, gavi michlefei sudayu le'adadi, which means, according to Rashi, on one year Reuven invited Shimon, and next year Shimon invited Reuven. So how did Shimon fulfill his mitzvah on the first year and vice versa? The answer is that Shimon was part of the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos. The machayev of Mishloach Monos is to take your suda and share it with someone else. Ubeprima gadim bier sherayoso mirashi hainu mipnei kushas abeis yos veich yotza sheni shaloshalot sudos l'chavero. How did he fulfill his mitzvah of Mishloach Monos? Lezet tiritz kevet shlo heichin liatzmo. You see, in the Magen Avraham it says lo, but the Prima Godim is clarifying it means liatzmo klum is potur. Ubebir adover nir al pima shekosva trumas hadeshin. The time of the goal, the agenda of Mishloach Monos is mishum suuda. Lokach kishehizmin chavero. If I invite you to my suuda yotza, why? Because I've given you the monos for your suuda. You're eating at my table. V'afagav lo sholach monos lechavero. I didn't even send any monos, but I just invited you to eat at my suuda. So I gave you basar and I gave you yirakos. Whatever I gave you plenty of manos. Demaliim shaleach manos lebeisal mayim hizmino le'elchlo al shulchanam. If he's machil his friend on the shulchan, that's exactly shalach manos. Ulefi zeh, to call yisod mitzvah shalach manos and kidei she'il lechavero sipeg. Lekayim suudi yeshlomid lo chalal of chiyuv liros shel chaver yasuda rakim hu biatzmo osa suda. If he's making his own suda, then you can obligate him to share his suda with others, and that's the essence of the mitzvah mishloach manos. So Rabbi Moshe, if this year you invite people to Yesudas Purim, realize that according to this mahalach, based on Rashi and the Prima Gaon's interpretation of the Magen Avraham, you are being makayim the mitzvah mishloach manos. You know, it's very interesting. We don't think of it in those terms, that my guest comes in, I give him a meal, and that's my kiva mishloach manos. And then you should understand something else, that if you get invited to someone's suda as a guest, you might be part of the mitzvah mishloach manos. So, sovek brachas lahakil, I would tell you not to make a bracha mishloach manos in such a case. But we don't have a bracha mishloach manos. He says, the chiyuv su'uda didei nichlal she'iragam. In other words, the chova, the obligation of mishloach manos, is an extension of the chiyuv suda. But that's only if you have a suda. I'm a koshal of asa suda liyatsma lochal of chiyuv liros sheikh avero suda lochal of chiyuv mishloach manos. I found this very revolutionary. You know, that somebody is part of the mitzvah of mishloach manos because he's not making a suda.
I think it is the way around.
Meaning what?
If you're going to somebody else, you should bring him something to suda.
Again, you're right logically, and I would definitely, second the motion here. But the answer is that when I'm making a suda, Chazal say mishloach manos. Take one of the manos from your suda and share it with him. The fact that you have something in your fridge and you want to take it out and bring it to him, that's not mishloach manos. The mishloach manos means manos from the suda. Share your suda. Again, your pshat is probably right according to many other poskim, but we're only seeing, you know, this line of reason.
You would think that.
Right. This is not the Maral of Prague. Kosav de bepurim shechalios b'shabbos osim seuda b'shabbos. Wow, this is wild. Our meaning is to postpone the suda till Sunday. The Maral Chaviv, maybe he was a Sfaradi, but his minug was to eat the Suda on Shabbos, which, if I understand correctly, means that he killed two birds with one stone, meaning that Suda would serve a double function. It would be a Suda Shabbos and at the same time a Suda Purim. You know, the way I always understood it, it's either or. You can't call it a Suda Shabbos and then call it a Suda Purim, but he would piggyback one on top of the other, and they overlap. Oh, Vegam hamishloach monos sholchim b'shabbos. Who would ever entertain the possibility of being mekayim the mitzvah shloach monos on Shabbos? But the answer is, if you're making your suda on Shabbos and it's a sudas purim, if you share the sudas purim with someone else, you're mekayim the mitzvah shloach monos. And he goes on and he says, ki amonos heim min hasuuda. They're from the suuda, not the species, but they're from the suuda. Ubir adover kamosh kasavnu de amonos heim min hasuuda. And the yisod of the mitzvah mishloach manos is mishum asuda. Hare nichlal b'chiv suda liros lichavero shiyelo suda. But right, so he's making a suda purim on Shabbos. Let him share some of his food with his friend, and that's the mitzvah mishloach manos. But if a person is not making a suda, then he's completely potter from the mitzvah mishloach manos. V'hinei arama b'siman tofreish tzadi dalid. Now, wait a minute. Su'udas Purim has to take place by day. And now he's telling me that Matonis Lev Yonim takes place at night. As far as Mishloach Manos, the Ramah says explicitly, and it's a sugya lehedja, that Yesh Mishloach Manos by Yom Velo Balayla. The people who send Mishloach Manos to Laila, that's a very nice gift, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Is Lufiya Mavur Bibira Tamadar, but now we understand why. Since Mishloach Manos is a subcategory and extension of the Suda, is the whole Chiyuv of the Suda is by day, at night, there cannot be Mishloach Manos because there can't be any Sudas Purim. Sudas Purim Shasab Laila Lo Yotzi Dei Chovaso. There's a famous suffix about whether Matana Masachzir operates as a kiyum of Matanas of Yonim, but he never had such a suffix in Mishloach Manos. Why? Because Mishloach Manos is to give that person part of your Suda. And obviously, if you ask him to give it back to you and he eats it in the Suda, he's not going to be able to give it back to you unless he regurgitates. Okay. So that's what I wanted to study with you there. Now, do you have a copy of the Pachad Yitzchak Inyan Beis? You got one? Anyone who didn't get one? We have one last copy going once, going twice. Sold.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, let me just try to time myself because I haven't been so great at that. Oh, we have a half hour? All right. Let's see if we can do this in a half hour. So you should be looking at page Lamed Gimel, which should be on the left side. The Pachad Yitzchak is medayek from the language of the Megillah. It says, Hipil Pur Hu HaGorol. Now, what's the difference between the two words? Pur is not a Hebrew word. It's a Persian word. Gorol is a Hebrew word. And the Megillah went out of its way to translate a Persian word into Hebrew to give us not only the Persian name for a lottery, but also its translation into Lashon Kodesh, which is the Gorol. And he says in a very poetic way that the heart would like to taste the Dvash and the Cholov. You know, what's the deeper meaning here that in addition to the Persian name, he also translates it into Lashon Kodesh? Why does the Megillah do such a thing? Now again, as always in the Pachad Yitzchak, you take the opening question, you put it on the back burners. And we're gonna, now's really where the Maamar starts, but at the end of the day, after this Maamar is finished, we should be able to come back and answer this question. But even if we don't get a chance to answer this question, it doesn't matter, because the main thesis of this essay, and it's a tremendous breakthrough, is here in Osios, Beis, and Gimel. It's only later on in Os Hei that he comes back to answer his original question. Now, he has a word called Hisnagdus. You know, sometimes we think of the Lithuanians opposed to Hasidus. Hisnagdus here is another word for what I call anti-Semitism. What is the Hisnagdus of the nations of the world to Israel? And he claims that it has to be subdivided into two systems, two orders. There's a maracha called the Arba Malchios. These are the four kingships that will subjugate the Jewish people during the course of Jewish history. And these four are written by Daniel in chapters 7 and 8 of Sefer Daniel. And we have Bavel, and we have Yavon, Paras, and Yavon, and Edom, the four kingships. And then we have the Shivas Ha'amamin, the seven nations that occupy the land of Israel. And that is described by the Torah in many places. If you want to look at one of them, we don't have time to look it up, but on your spare time, it's in Dvarim Perek Zion. So the antithesis or the anti-Semitism of the Goyim fall into two different categories. And the Pachad Yitzchak is going to define with a very sharp knife. You know, he's going to really carve out the fundamental difference between these two marachot, these two systems or orders of our enemies. And he says the following. In order to appreciate the difference between the two, we have to offer the following introduction. I'm just going to see if I can possibly get a little bit more quiet. Can we close the door? Sorry, she can't concentrate. He says the following. There's something called avdus. When a master acquires an eved, the eved is now committed to fulfill the will of his master. Two things really have to take place here. Number one, the master has to acquire the Eved, but that's not enough. The Eved, once acquired, he has no clue how to serve his master. So we got to get to stage two. He calls it Hodas Ritzonu Shala Adon. The Adon has to reveal his Ratzon, his will, how and what the Eved should be doing as an obedient servant to fulfill his Avd. So you hear the difference between the two. The first one is to establish the Eved as an Eved. But the second one is how the Eved would implement his avdus. He needs a gilui das. He needs some sort of a revelation where the Adon, the master, reveals his will to the Eved. He says the following, that in the Nimshal, these two stages occur in the history of Klal Yisrael. Number one, Klal Yisrael emerge as a nation of Avdei Hashem through Geulas Mitzrayim. So let's, if we had a timeline, is that what it's called? So in the timeline, the first major line in the timeline is Geulas Mitzrayim. Why? Because with Geulas Mitzrayim, the Shibud of being Avdei Paro terminates, and now what emerges is Avdei Hashem. Mm-hmm. So when, at what point in time do we become, as a nation, Avdei Hashem? With Geulas Mitzrayim. However, we're still missing the second stage. Okay, we're all Avadim Tashem, but God has not yet revealed what His will is, the content, the substance of His will. That's going to happen when? At Har Sinai, correct. So we have to wait till time number two. Now again, in a minute we'll see that something happens in between these two events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Anybody know what I have in mind if we're talking about Purim? Amolek. Right? So leave space for time number two, you know, the second line on your timeline, because Amolek is going to be the first to attack the Jewish people immediately after they exit from Mitzrayim, even before they get to Matan Torah. Okay, fine. Now what happens? God reveals His will at Har Sinai. Where on the face of the earth are we going to, where's the location on the face of the earth where we're going to implement the will of God? In Eretz Yisrael. So now we need time T3. We have to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mokom Avoda. He probably has in mind here, subconsciously, the Ramban's famous Shita, that everything we do in Chutzah is only to prepare us for the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But in any event, there are many mitzvahs that we can only fulfill in Eretz Yisrael. Oh. Now let's understand, in the light of this introduction, the fundamental difference between the Dalet Malchios and their Hisnagdus and the Zayin Amim. He says the following, that if you look carefully at the Gemara always refers to these four exiles as Malchios, which means in English kingships. In contrast, when it comes to the seven nations that occupy the land of Israel, that are going to battle against us, starting with Yoshua, etc., they are called Shivas Amamin. It doesn't say Mamlochos, it says Amamin. And Rav Hudna sees worlds in this distinction between Malchios and Amamin. And he says the following. So now keep in mind, The Gemara Bava Metzia says about Yetzias Mitzrayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Ani Hashem, Avodehem Asher Otzesi Yosom Eretz Mitzrayim, Avodehem V'lo Avodim La'Avodim. Keep that in mind, right? That was the emergence of the Shem Eved takes place simultaneously with Yetzias Mitzrayim, because now a new Avdus replaces the old Avdus. Okay. He says the following. In the case of Arba Malchios, the intention and the goal of these Malchios is to subjugate the Jewish people, meaning to make them into Avadim to their Malchios. And basically what they are doing is they're trying to undermine our status as Avdei Hashem. We don't want you to be Avdei Hashem. We want you to be our Avadim. And that's going to happen over and over again throughout Jewish history in the form of the Arba Malchias. So they're attacking the basic stage of Avdei Hashem. So to the extent in which a man is subjugated or subservient to another person or another nation, he has lost his status as an Eved Hashem. He becomes an Eved to those people in those places that subjugate him. So that's the purpose of the Arba Malchis. Meshabdim es Yisrael. And if you turn to Lamed Dalet, the Osim Osam Ayideze Avodim LaAvodim. It's almost as if the Malchios are reverting us back to the state of Avodim Tempara. But now we're Avodim Temparas and Yovan and Modai and Edom. So now, what they are trying to undermine is our very essential mahut, our existential status as Avdei Hashem. That's not the same with regard to Shivas Amamim. We're not talking about Malchios, we're talking about Amamim. The Amamim were not in the least bit interested in being Meshabes Yisrael. Nowhere do we find that the Yavusi and the Girgashi and the Chivi were interested in subserving, in making the Jews subservient. What they want to do is they want to prevent the Jews from implementing the will of God. The will of God has to be implemented where? In Eretz Yisrael. They don't want to let the Jewish people occupy the land of Eretz Yisrael. They can call us occupiers, right? It's a kibush. That's what they're going to call us. We want to get rid of the Jews. Why? We're not going to allow the Jews to serve God. They recognize that the people of Israel are already called Avdei Hashem. Okay, but Eved Hashem is just a theoretical status. Now you have to make it into something practical and implement the will of God. They are going to prevent the Jews from implementing the will of God. Ein hisnagdusam shel ha'amim mechuvenes li'etzem ha'toar. To our very status, they're not interested in undermining our status as Avdei Hashem, which is the essence of Knesset Yisrael. They just want to prevent us from doing the Avodah B'Fa'al, from implementing the Avodah. And now he says that the word Rashis is appropriate to describe both of these Marachot. But in each case, it takes on a slightly different meaning, but in each one there's something called a Rashis. The word racious means, just one second, I'm talking about racious. Yeah. The word racious means not only the first, but I would call it in English, and you'll help me with the English here, a harbinger. Because that which comes before Rashis. I mean, none of you gentlemen are here for my 8:30 shiur. But we spent a whole shiur for an hour on one pasuk in Chumash that says, Ach b'yoma Rishon, Rishon is from the word Rashis, Tashbisu siyar matechem, to prove that the word Rishon means the day before Yontif. Okay, that's just a plug for my 8:30 shiur. But in any event, but the word Rashis here means the first one. That came even before. What happens now? Amalek attacks the Jewish people in time T2 after Yetzias Mitzrayim. We've already acquired the shame Eved, but we don't know. There's not Matan Torah, and they're already attacking us. They are preventing us from implementing the Avdus Hashem. They are the racists of the seven nations that occupy the land. The goal of the seven nations, the agenda is to prevent the Jewish people from implementing the will of Hashem. And that's what Amalek is going to do. Amalek wants to wipe us out so that we can never actually implement the Shem Eved, if you can call it that. But yet, we find the word racist with regard to Mitzrayim as well. Mitzrayim is called, let's go through the whole pasuk. I'll tell you where the pasuk is. This is in Shmos, Perek Dalet. It says, B'ni B'chor Yisrael, B'chor is a racious, And Hashem says that if you, he warns the Mitzrayim, if you refuse to let the people go, hinini, hinei anochi horeges bincha b'chorecha. So the word b'char is used in the context of Mitzrayim. Not only that, but more important is a pasuk in Tillim that speaks about Cham. Cham is always the forefather of Mitzrayim, as Rashis. Rashis onim bi'ole Cham is a pasuk in Tillim, Ayin Ches, which you'll see in parentheses here, two lines down. What does this mean? He says the following. Kishem she Yisrael heim reishis, right, there's a principle in Kabbalah called Zelu Mazeh. So whatever exists in Kiddusha on the positive side has its parallel in the negative side. So Klal Yisrael is called the reishis. Okay? And this is based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Beis, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuaso. The pasuk in Yirmiyah describes the Kedusha of Yisrael and the nation of Israel as Reishis Tvuaso. Kmochem, Mitzrayim, again in Kedusha, the opposite is in Tuma, is the Reishis of Tuma. That's why the pasuk calls the Ole Cham Reishis. He says the following. Amalek is called Reishis in Sefer Bamidbar, and it says Reishis Goyim Amalek. So we have both Mitzrayim called Reishis, and we have Amalek called Reishis. They're both coming before something, before a Marocha, correct? Because there are four Malchus. Mitzrayim is not included in the count in the enumeration of the four Malchus. Then we have the Zion Amamin. And Amalek is not included in the Zion Amamin, because these two, Mitzrayim and Amalek, are the Reishis. Why is Amalek called Reishis? That's the Reishis of the Snagdus of the Sheva Amamin, which means that Mitzrayim is the Reishis of the Arba Malchios. You follow me? That Reishis means before. So we haven't yet gotten to the Zion Amamin, and we already have Amalek. We haven't yet gotten to the Dalet Malchus. We already have Mitzrayim. Biocha Arba Malchus Bo Lakar Sashem Bator Shal Avdei Hashem Shal Knesset Yisrael. Achrei Shatorah Zeh Yadavuk Lo. In other words, the Zion Amamim are after Yitzias Mitzrayim. In other words, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, we've already acquired the name of Avdei Hashem, and the Avdus now should express itself in Lamaisa and Befal in Eretz Yisrael. The Zion Amamin say, we're not going to let you live as Avodim. But there's a harbinger to the Zion Amamin, and that's going to be Amalek. He says the following. Again, we're going to get back to Amalek in just a second, but let's go Kisayda. He says the harbinger of the Arba Malchios, who are trying to undermine the Shem Eved, is going to be Amalek. What does he mean? Sheba Arba Malchios bo lakars Hashem Torah shal avdei Hashem. Right? The Arba Malchios want to subjugate the nation of Israel, make them into slaves, so to speak, so they're no longer avdei Hashem. And they do so even after Klal Yisrael exits from Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and they already have the Shem Avdei Hashem, but now we want to make you revert it back to Mitzrayim, make you into Avodim to Malchios. Mitzrayim are Misnagdim even before we ever acquired the name of Avdei Hashem. That's the Reishis of Mitzrayim. So again, even though Mitzrayim is not officially incorporated into the system of the Arba Malchios, but they are really the kickoff, the harbinger of the Arba Malchios. They are the Reishis before the Arba Malchios, because the Arba Malchios want to negate and vitiate our shame of Avdei Hashem and make us Avodim to them after we already have acquired the shame of Avdei Hashem. Mitzrayim, on the other hand, is going to prevent us from ever being considered Avdei Hashem. They're going to be okay the shame even before it's Chal, if you follow what I mean. So that we never could become Avdei Hashem. We're always going to be Avdei Paro. And that's why the Reishis of the Arba Malchios is Mitzrayim. Now we get to Amalek. Amalek is the Reishis of the Snagdus of Shiva Amamin. And why is that? This nagdus of the Shiva Amimim is the befall, the avodah befall of Knesset Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. After already God had revealed his ratzon at Har Sinai to the people of Israel, Amalek comes before Matan Torah, wants to prevent us from ever achieving the Gili Ratzon of Hashem, to tell us how to live as Avodim at Har Sinai. So why is Amalek called Rashis in the Esnagdus of the Sheva Amamin? The answer is because they too, Amalek too, wants to prevent us from activating our Shem Eved and implementing our Avdus Hashem. And to do so, even before God has revealed to us exactly how to implement our Avdus, even before Matan Torah, God hasn't revealed exactly what the substance of our Avdus is and how to implement it, and Amalek wants to cut us off before we get to Matan Torah. So it means the following, just to summarize on page Lamed Hey on top, Mekoma Shel Mitzrayim is called Rashis with regard to the Arba Malchis. And the parallel is going to be Amalek is going to be called Rashis in the Esnagdus of the Sheva Amamin. So we now have Amalek and Mitzrayim, both are Rashis, but under two fundamentally different categories. They both come before the Mareches of Esnagdus. Which Marech of Esnagdus? In the case of Mitzrayim, the Esnagdus of the Arba Malchius, we want to subjugate the Jewish people, make them into Aravadim. Again, Mitzrayim is called Rashis because we haven't even emerged as an Eved. And then we have the Rashis of Amalek, which is the Rashis of the Zion Amamin. We're not going to let you take Matan Torah and implement the Matan Torah. Again, in the case of Zion Amamin, that's post-Matan Torah. In the case of Amalek, they're going to prevent us from ever reaching the level of Matan Torah. And they become Rashis. So we have the Rashis of the Snagdus of Arba Malchios, and that's going to be Mitzrayim. We have the Rashis of the Snagdus of Zion Amamim, and that's going to be Amalek, which is called Rashis. How are we doing so far?
Good.
Awesome. Wow, this is mamish amazing. He says the following. Why is it that the Malchius are called Malchius and the Amamim are called Amamim? He says the following. The concept of Malchus means to subjugate. A melech is the king and the people, his citizens, are his servants. The Shiva Amamim are not interested in subjugating. They're not called Malchios. Why? Because the word Amamim is not indicative of being Meshabed someone. Okay, let me read it to you in his language, because I'm trying to translate it without reading it, which, you know, it's better if I read it and then translate it. He says the following. He says, Marechas es nagdus shal arba malchus hi mitzad shehem mishabdos es Yisrael, u'lashabed es u'losu shayach l'malchus. So if I write the word l'shabed, it comes from the shorash of Eved. If I want to be mishabed to make you into my Eved, that's a malchus. Mashenkin is nagdus liavoda, which means that the Zayin Amim want to prevent us as avodim from implementing our avoda. Yachol lovo mitzad kol koach hamoneah. Any power whatsoever can prevent me from doing the avoda, and therefore that hisnagdus is called amamim, not malchus. The amamim means not this kingship, but even a collection of an amalgamation of individuals, and each individual is interested in cutting us off from Eretz Yisrael and cutting us off from implementing the avoda. They're not interested in subjugating us. They weren't looking for slaves. And now he says, Varei gam mitzad b'tzad ha-kedusha shel Knesset Yisrael matzinu she-dibro al shnei sugei kabbalah. So now he's going over to the tzad of kedusha. And even in kedusha, we have a double concept. Why? Because if you look in the Mechilta on the pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Mechilta says, Kibalte Malchusai. Now that you've accepted me as your king, which is called Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, now Kablu Gzerosai. Do you see the two concepts? One is Malchusai and one is Gzerosai. And there are two different Kabbalahs. One is we accept upon ourselves HaKadosh Baruch as the Melech. And now we say, we declare we are Avodim, we're committed to the King. But that's not enough, because we have no idea how to take that Kabbalah and flesh it out and implement God's will. And that's called Kabbalah Sagzeros. Kabbalah Alai Gzerosai. So Kabbalah Malchus means the Chal Hashem Avodim. We declare ourselves as Avodim Tashem. But Kabbalah Sagzeros is now we have to know how to do the Avodah before. And the Gzeros are revealed by Hashem as a Gili Ritzono. And if we parallel these two Kabbalos to the negative side, to the side of Maris Nagdim, then we have two different Marochas of Isnagdus in the Umas Olam. There's the Isnagdus of Mitzrayim and the Dalet Malchios. They want to subjugate the Jew. They don't want to allow the Jew to have the Torah Eved Hashem, which is called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And then we have the Isnagdus of the Zion Amamin, who don't want to allow us to implement the Avdus, which is called Kablu Gzerosai. So we have Kablu Malchusai, Kablu Gzerosai. We have the Dalet Malchios, and we have the Zayin Amin. The Dalet Malchios want to object to Kabbalas Malchusai, because they want to substitute their Malchus, a human kingship, for a divine kingship. And the Zayin Amin want to prevent the Kablu Gzerosai, meaning to be able to implement God's will. And they don't want to let the people of Israel, they can't tolerate them in Eretz Yisrael to this. Now we have the next point, namely that in the Hisnagdus of Dal Malchus, we have the Rashis of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim wants to subjugate the Jewish people as a Melech subjugates his people and make them into Avdei Paro and not Avdei Hashem. We have the Hisnagdus of the Zion Amamin with the Rashis of Amalek. Amalek, even before we get a chance to except the Torah, wants to tell us you're not going to receive the Torah, you're not going to observe the Torah, you're going to be destroyed, we're going to annihilate. Now, according to the Seder of Daniel of the four Malchus, we are in the fourth level. We've already experienced Bavel, Madai, Yavan, we're up to Romi. This is the longest Gullus of them all. And we know that because of the Gullus of Romi, we the Jewish people can be called Kivsa Achas Bein Shiva Zeven. And that's a phrase that's borrowed from Medrash Rabbah in Megillas Esther. I forgot to mention that Kibalta Malchusai Kablu Gzerosai is a Mechilta in Shmos Perik Chof. By the way, on the side, the style is fascinating to me. He leaves out all the Maramakomos, and he has them here in the back. And I'll tell you why he does that, Lefi Anias Daiti. What he's interested in is the concepts. As soon as you see the quotations with their footnotes, you get sidetracked. He's less interested in the exact scholarship here of where am I quoting from when, than he's interested in the flow of concepts. Okay, that's just a Maimar Muzgar that I wanted to add. Kivsa Achas Bein Shiva Zevim is a phrase from the Medrash in Esther Rab. Im Kein Lo Shayach Liyacheis Galusenu Kayom L'machus Ach. We are spread among 70 nations. That's what the Medrash tells us. So at some point in time, the concept of Edom swallows up the entire Goyish Welt. We are spread out throughout, not just Edom, but we are subjugated and there's Isnagdus from every corner on the face of the earth. So true today. He says, a lot of people will use the term Hascholas HaGolos to refer to Golos Romi. Because again, we're not so focused on Romi as we are on the concept of Shivim Zeavim, of Rome started the Golus because we were sent into exile after they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So Galilim Eretz Seinu. But all the Shivim's Ze'evim of the teeth, you know, those who want to sink their teeth into Israel, the United Nations, right? They are Nimshachim. They come from Romi. So Romi controls the people of Israel in a global sense, sends them out to Golus, destroys the Mikdash. And everything that happens subsequently in our bitter Golus is called Golus Romi. But again, we're subject to all the nations of the world. So the original Gorem of Golus that sent the Zev into the 70 Ze'evim, that's Romi. But in truth, the name Golus Romi is not just the Haskalah of Golus. And here he has a thesis based on the Ramban. I think at this point, maybe we'll take a break because the Ramban already introduces a very fundamental concept. The only problem that I have here is that I would very much like to complete this. So I'll ask the following question. Gentlemen, when would you be available for me to complete this? Jeff, you come on Mondays, if I remember correctly? Can we postpone this till Monday? Well, Monday's not a good day. So Monday at 11:45, or maybe towards the end of this year. Now, if other people join us on Monday, I'm in deep trouble. Because no way, no how can I start this from beginning? Because that'll take another hour. So I'm not sure the logistics, how to orchestrate this. But believe neither, I want to finish this. Okay then?